You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's a good, good Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The title of the message for today is called The Goodness of the Father. Hallelujah. And I really just want to encourage the fathers today. Thank you. Didn't expect that to happen. All right. Get myself together. Amen. The goodness of the Father. I want to encourage you as the fathers. I know that those of you who are not fathers, whether you be a woman or whether you don't have kids, you still will be able to get something from this message today. But I definitely want to address the fathers and directly speak into your lives today. What I believe God is saying to you today. So the goodness of the Father is not just talking about the Father above, but it's talking about the goodness that's in you, okay? God just began to deal with me concerning a couple of scriptures these last few days, and I really been stuck on them, and I couldn't get past them. And he began to reveal to me how his goodness is actually passed down to us. It's filtered into our DNA. His goodness is filtered into the DNA of his creation. And I can prove it. If you go with me, we're going to flip a little bit today, so I hope you guys brought your Bibles, your good Bibles, that's seasoned and not the pages don't stick. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. When you have it, say amen. Genesis 1, 26. Amen. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So he said it right there. We went over the scripture last week. He said it right there in Genesis when he began to even have the thought to create man. He said, in our image and after our likeness. The goodness of God represents his character, the essence of who he is. Hallelujah. A lot of times we take words at face value. And that's what I was doing with saying how good God was and saying that, you know, he's his goodness and mercy. What exactly was his goodness? In my mind, I always accepted goodness to just be, you know, that he's just and he's kind and, you know, those type of words. But he really began to get me into just getting a little deeper and understanding that, first of all, God is so vast. So we can't even put him in a box. So when we begin to even think about what the goodness of God really looks like, we can't even, our human minds can't fathom. But to know that he was thinking of us and he decided to create us in that image, meaning that there's so much more to you than what you even understand, how you were created, amen? God strategically placed certain characteristics on the inside of you, especially into the man, so that you could truly operate as his image bearers here on earth. So he said that he wanted to make you in the image and after his likeness. So as being made in his image, that means that you now get the honor of bearing his image here on the earth. As a father, he wants that to be reflected wherever you go. There's we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 20. When you get to chapter 20, say amen. there's certain traits that are a direct reflection of God's character. And we're going to get into that today. Proverbs chapter 20. When you have it, say amen. And we're going to go down to verse number 6. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Okay, stop right there. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. There goes that goodness word again. Goodness meaning kindness, how generous you are, how honorable you are. You're right. You're loyal. So it says most men will proclaim that, but a faithful man, who can find? Meaning, who is actually that person that you say that you are? Can someone else say that you are who you say you are based on your character? That character is that goodness that's flowing through your DNA. Verse 7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. This is key. The just man walketh in his integrity. Just. What does it mean to be just? Upright, virtuous, honorable, righteous, some would say. Amen. The just man walketh in his integrity. Integrity is that being consistent, is that being right and upstanding, sound, whole. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. So let's get into that. There's a level of responsibility that God placed on the inside of you as a father when he made you an image bearer and when he made you a father. And as Pastor spoke so eloquently before I got up here, that even if you don't birth your own kid, you still have that embedded in your DNA to be that image bearer and to be that father here on the earth. Because as an image bearer, you are to reflect his character. Amen? You are a direct reflection of how good the father is. But it's up to you to actually carry that thing out here on the earth. And it's not just for the world to see, but it's for those who are closely connected to you. And that could mean your own offspring, and that could even mean people who are attached to you, who have linked to you. A lot of people have become mentors. A lot of you have, not even knowingly, people just begin to flock to you, other young men, or begin to flock up under you, and they wanted to, you know, get your advice, and they saw you as someone that has wisdom, someone that has something to offer, someone that's been through some things. God didn't just bring them into your life just because. They didn't just walk into your life. God ordained that so that way you could actually do what he called you to do, and that's to be his goodness here on the earth. In Proverbs, it tells us to train up a child the way that they should go. And when they are old, they won't depart from it. Amen? So there is a blessing lined up for the ones who are leading. There is a blessing lined up for the ones who are leading. As the father, you are the head, right? And as the father, you are commanded to be Lord of whatever he has given you. So your obedience is tied to your lineage or the people that are coming up after you. As Pastor said, there is stuff that you have to pour into this next generation. But in order for them to get it, you have to do something. There takes an act of obedience on your part to be who God called you to be and to walk in the purpose that he put on the inside of you. God's desire is for the fathers to reflect his goodness. It's not only a responsibility, but it's a badge of honor. And God began to show me how closely related, if you think about shepherds, okay, we're going to go there. Shepherds, when they are dealing with sheep, shepherds, what does a shepherd do? They guide the flock. They look after them. They care for them. They protect them. They direct them in the path that they should go because the sheep don't know any better, right? Doesn't that sound a lot like the role of a father? And so the enemy actually knows that there is honor and that there's blessing attached to being the father. And that there, with that blessing being attached, he doesn't want you to have hold of that blessing. Why do you think, as Pastor was saying up here, that fathers have a bad rep? Because a lot of fathers have brought that on themselves. There are good fathers, but there are some bad fathers, and they just need some direction. But what God has allowed for you to be, as being his image bearers, you have a one up on someone in the world who doesn't have the relationship with the Father. By you being in connection and being in relationship with him, you have a direct connection into what you need and what it takes to be the father that he called you to be. When it comes to the shepherd, it's a lot like a father. I want to take you, let's go to 1 Peter. All the way in the back. Almost toward the end. 1 Peter, and we're going to go to chapter 5. Now, this scripture is actually, this passage is actually used to refer to pastors or spiritual leaders. But when God showed me this scripture, immediately I was like, wow, you've aligned them so similarly. It says in verse 1 of chapter 5, everyone have it? The elders which are among you, I exhort. This is Peter talking to the elders. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He said to them, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Stop there. He wants you to do it willingly, not begrudgingly. Not because you just have to, but because you want to. It's a desire for you to actually fulfill what God has put on the inside of you. Amen? Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. That sounds familiar. Neither as being lords, not being a tyrant, because you have authority, but being a good example, your lifestyle, the way that you live, what it is that you do, what it is that, how is it that you walk your life? And even though this was talking, he was talking to the spiritual leaders, but we are God's heritage. So it takes someone to actually be in the position to be the leader and to walk that thing out so that we can have an example. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's the Lord, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Why are things so hard here? Because your blessing is coming. But the thing is, you have to not faint. There are certain things that need to be in proper alignment when you're walking out this call to fatherhood, when you're walking out this call to being a leader, when you're walking out this call to being someone that someone else can look up to, when you're placed in the position of leadership, when you're placed in the position of fatherhood, it comes, like I said, with responsibility, but it's also a badge of honor. In Ephesians, and actually in Colossians, Paul referenced to the children to obey the fathers and the mothers. But he specifically said in verse 4. You don't have to turn there, but unless you want to. But Ephesians 6 and 4. He specifically said to the fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. He said it again in Colossians, I believe it was verse 21, and he said, in chapter 3, verse 21, he said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. So he's telling the fathers, you guys have power that you don't even know that you have. Why did Paul have the need to reiterate not to provoke your children or not to bring them to wrath? Clearly because the father is naturally the disciplinarian, right? The way that God aligned everything, the father was supposed to be the disciplinarian. What happens when the parent is not there? What happens when that father doesn't know how to father? What happens when the father is going on his own merit and his own strength and hasn't actually sought the help of the father that made him? I believe somewhere in here where, because you know the Ten Commandments, that was when they said that to obey, to honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long. Somewhere along the line, I just believe this. This is not proven. But I believe that fathers probably were like, you supposed to honor me. It still happens. You supposed to honor me. And don't give me no. But somewhere along the line, I believe that the authority and that position, it became they became hotheads, where Paul had to keep addressing it to different churches. Not only he's saying, yes, you need to obey your children, you need to obey your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. And some fathers have provoked their children to wrath, and they haven't even done anything. It's because they haven't showed up. Some fathers actually just haven't done what they were supposed to do, and it had nothing to do with their delivery of how they were doing it. It just means that they didn't do anything at all. And it provoked the children to wrath. So God began to show me the parallel, like I said, with the shepherd and with the father, and how the shepherd being over the sheep. Pastor gave us an analogy before when it came to how he's the shepherd of this house and how God has called him to herd us. We are the flock. Amen. But God also began to show me how closely related sheep and children versus fathers and shepherds. And of course, because I like to learn, I did some research on shepherding, okay? And I found out that sheep do not like loud noise. They can't handle it. Their body is not made up to deal with yelling or loud disruption. And what happens is if someone is yelling, or if a dog is barking, or there's loud disruption, what it does is it releases a stress hormone in the sheep, and they go into a panic. And when they go into that panic, they become disorderly. They can't be controlled, and sometimes they end up hurting themselves as far as even committing suicide because they've ran into something trying to run away and get from this noise. And so God began to show me how, as a father, your words have value and so do your actions. That what you say and what you do can make or break a situation. Now, for those of you who don't know my story, my biological father was not present in my life while I was growing up. But my brother, who happens to be my pastor, we are 15 years apart. So when I was born, I would cling to him like glue. And he took on the responsibility. He told me this all my life. He's like, when you were a little baby, he said other words, but I'm not going to say that. I was very, very light when I was born, okay? He told my mom that he thought the doctors gave her the wrong baby because I was so light I could not have possibly been her child. And so he always says, you know, my mom's like, she was not white, she was creamy, you know. And so I was, you know, I'm the eyeball. So anywho, my brother, he said he held me in his arms. He held me in his arms and he made a promise to God. And he said that he would watch over me. And he would step in, basically, and be who I needed him to be, because I wasn't going to have, he was a teenager. But God revealed to him that I wasn't going to have what I needed growing up. And so he stepped in and became that person that I needed to bring discipline, to bring order, to bring structure. Now, mind you, yes, I have a mom. My mom can do all of that. But there's something about having a dad. There's something about having a father to be able to bring that that voice of reason, to bring that hammer down when it needs to. And a lot of times when I was younger and I was growing up, if I did something and I got in trouble, whether it was in school or whether it was whether I was in school or if I got in trouble or did something, if I got into a fight, the first thing I would go home and I would tell my mom, please don't tell Bob. Please don't tell him. I'm telling my mom, like, please, just whatever you do, just don't tell him, because I already knew. I'm like, if he found out, ooh, child, whew. But what it did was, I used to think that he was just mean. Like, he didn't let me do anything. I still feel like you got soft as you know, you had your own kids. I was the guinea pig, everybody. I was the guinea pig. But what he was actually doing, he was doing the best that he knew how to do, right? And thankfully, he had a relationship with God. Thankfully, he was able to attain what he didn't know, because he did not have me. He didn't help create me. But God brought me into his life to prepare him. Wow. Not even just for your own children, but to be the shepherd that you are today. The load was heavy at a young age, and God placed that on him, and he accepted. And what happened was, something supernatural had to take place, because there were no books for him to read to figure out how to be my dad. He didn't want to be my dad, but God called for him to be the dad in my life. And sometimes God is calling you men to be the dad for somebody else, even if they're older than you. They may very well be older than you, but God has put something special on the inside of you that only you can pour out. Hallelujah. There's a difference between what's naturally revealed and what's spiritually revealed. There are things that you do well, and then there are things that you have to work at in order for you to get better. Amen? So, even as I use my brother as an example, he was 15 when I was born, still in high school, still a child. But he took on that responsibility to care for me and do whatever he needed to do in the interim to help my mom. And as he got older and he began to start his own family and have his own children, God began to mature him, and God began to show him things, and things that he may have done with me that I felt was wrong, he may have learned later on down the line, like, oh, I could have handled that differently. Oh, I could have done that. Now, here's the catch. Should I be bitter because I didn't get the treatment that they got? They got more lenient. I'm like pointing towards Lily. Like you didn't get. That's my niece, you guys. That's his oldest. But no, I couldn't be bitter, because what happened was he groomed me in love, and he allowed himself to be an example. He didn't even know I was going in this direction, but he allowed for God to groom him. And as God groomed him, I began to see the changes that God was making on the inside of him, and seeing how he was moving. And then I saw how, wow, okay, you know what? You work with what you know until you get where you need to get. So say, for instance, you decide you want to pick up a hobby, and you have a desire to do it. Your heart is there, but you don't know anything about it. You don't have any background in it. All of a sudden, you just have this idea. It's like, I want to learn how to play the drums. And you can try to get on those drums, and it's like, oh, it looks easy. And then you try, and it's like, oh, this is not easy at all. I'm crashing and I'm burning. But a lot of times, as men, and I'm not a man, but I know I've seen enough to know that sometimes that's what you're going through when you're in the midst of trying to figure out this thing called fatherhood, when you're trying to figure out this thing called taking care of another human being, pouring into another human being's life, even though you've made your own mistakes and had your own mishaps, and you may have not had everything right, you may have not done everything right, you may have missed out on majority of the time that you should have been pouring into their life. As Pastor was saying, it's okay, because God is gracious, and he brings that grace to you. And that if you present those things that you were carrying as burdens, that guilt, that shame, that he just prayed off of you, like, you can give that to God. He will take that away. And he will present an opportunity. And if, for whatever reason, whether it be the child, and for those children, whether it be the parent, that there can be reconciliation, God always has a ram in the bush. He always provides. God always provides. His goodness is working through you. Amen. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to chapter 2. This is when God really began to blow my mind, okay? This was not at all what I had planned, but my plans are pish posh, okay? Pish posh and balderdash, okay? I like big words. All right, so we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When you have it, say amen. And that is not where I was trying to go. Oh, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Yes. Let me pull it up in my digital, because I want to read it out of here. And it says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What does that mean? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That means in some things you can't go by your own might or what other people have to say to you to try to get you to do what you need to do. You have to rely on the power of God. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Actually, you know what? I'm going to skip down. Let's skip all the way down to verse 9. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Stop right there. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. All my life, I've read this scripture and I've heard this scripture quoted, and it was referring to what's to come in glory. But God showed me that it's not just for later, it's actually for right now. It's for right now in this very moment. I have not seen nor ear heard. This was, Paul was quoting Isaiah. When Isaiah had said that no ear had heard or no eye had seen what God had in store for them. But after this time, Jesus has come. So now Paul is telling them, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now go to verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Okay? For the Spirit searcheth all things. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. What it's saying is, the Spirit, what is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit is searching all things, the deep things of God. It says, even the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man? Meaning, who would know what that person is thinking or what's on the inside of that person's heart unless that was that person? Amen? But even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Meaning, how are you to know what's on God's mind or what's in his heart? But the Holy Spirit knows. Amen? Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. So there is a spirit of this world, a worldly system as we know it, that's not how we have to operate because we have an extra tool. We have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That part right there. We may know the things that are freely given to us by God. Meaning, like I said earlier, there are things that you don't even know that you're carrying because when God spoke life into you, he made you a reflection of who he is. So there are things that you don't even know that you possess, dads. There are things that you don't even know that you possess that's on the inside of you that if you don't go to the source and allow for that Holy Spirit to connect with his spirit so that it can begin to reveal those things, so that what you didn't know and that which you were at fault with when you were on your own merit, hear me by the Spirit, when you were operating in your own might and when you were operating in your own wisdom and you know how to do this because you already raised 3 kids. But when you tapped into the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit began to reveal those, even the deep things of God, it says here that they were freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And I know a lot of times people are like, it shouldn't be that deep. Everything isn't always spiritual. When you are a child of God, you better tap into what God has given you. You better tap into those tools that he has already placed on the inside of you. You have the upper hand. And so for whatever you were lacking, God is speaking right now through his servant Paul, saying that these things were freely given to you and that all you need to do is let your spirit connect with God's spirit. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit. Why not? If the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Meaning, we are in a secret club, right? We have a special secret language that only we know what it is. And people on the outside look at us like, they are some kookies and crazies. Where are they getting this from? How do you become all of a sudden an expert at something? Like, I may not be an expert, but I know everything I need to know because God reveals it. And if he hasn't revealed it, I don't need it yet. God is a revealer. Hallelujah. And he uses his Holy Spirit so that way everything that we need, all we have to do is tap in. And it's a direct connection. And God began to show me this image of us being on our knees, and even in these last few weeks where the Holy Spirit has been breaking out in this place. And there are things that, and it says in the Bible that there are things and moaning and groanings that our spirit does, and we don't even know what it is, but we are connecting with God's spirit, and God is downloading. He's been downloading everything that you didn't even know that you needed. Because you allowed for him to have access. You allowed for him to have that space where you can hear from him and he can hear from you because he recognizes his spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Oh, let's go back to 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. God's Spirit will reveal all that needs to be revealed. And it's freely given. It's not worked for. There's no merit of your own. You literally have it just by relationship. His goodness is flowing through you so that way your goodness can flow and trickle down to the next lineage, that it can flow and trickle down into the next lineup. Amen? Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Saying who knows what is really on God's mind? And who could actually give him any type of counsel or could give him any advice? Guess what? Jesus, our mediator. Hallelujah. And because we have the mind of Christ, when we decided to get adopted in, hallelujah, we have double time working on our behalf. We have double time working on our behalf. Jesus is in God's ear. The Holy Spirit is doing its direct connection from our spirit to God's spirit. So that way everything that we were lacking can be replenished and it can be fulfilled. Hallelujah. So that you can carry out what he has placed on the inside of you and it can begin to come out and be given to those who are after you. This is the key. We have to have the mind of Christ, though. Hallelujah. Whatever you're lacking, you have when God reveals. It's like in a movie. There's plenty of movies like this where the plot is someone in the family has passed away, and there's a family member that doesn't even know that they related to somebody who has this grand fortune. And they get a phone call, and they end up finding out that they're written in a will, and all of a sudden they gain this inheritance, and they didn't even know that it existed. That's how God works on our behalf. There are things that all we have to do is be connected. And there are things that God has for us that he has literally laid out. It's like a table. It's like you need wisdom. Here it is. Grab it. It's yours. It's yours to have. All you have to do is grab it. If you need peace, here it is. It's yours to have. All you have to do is grab it. The goodness of the Father is revealed in how he set his children up for greatness so that there is no lack. The goodness of God is revealed. The goodness of the Father is revealed in how he set his children up. That's you. That's me. He set his children up for greatness so that there is no lack. As a father, now you have a responsibility. You have a legacy to leave. Amen? For the ones that follow after you, for the ones that are submitting unto you, your obedience to your father allows you to be able to take what he has given you and pour it into someone else so that they would be able to take what they have received from you and pour it into someone else. And it continues and it continues and it goes on and on and on. You find out over time that a lot of times, like I brought my brother as an example, when Pastor was younger, and he talks about this, he's talked about it many times on the pulpit, where he jokes about it now and says, you know, you wouldn't have wanted to see him as a pastor in this decade or whatever. But the thing is, what happens when you allow yourself to get closer to God, when you begin to seek his face more, when you begin to allow him to work on those areas that you thought were untouchable, even in the latter part of your life. That saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, that's not true. When people say, oh, I'm set in my ways, no, you're stubborn. and you don't want to submit to authority. You don't want to submit to the one who made you, shaped you, made you in his image. I found out that you find out more of who you are when you get closer to God. For if you were lacking, if you didn't even know what you have to offer, a lot of times, and I'll be transparent, I have a transparent moment, having conversations with my own father when I became an adult, and he carried so much guilt and so much shame. And I remember the first time we had a face-to-face where I was an adult. At this point, I'm in my 20s. And I told him face-to-face, I said, whatever you didn't do, it's in the past. And whatever you do from this point forward, that's what we're going on. What he was carrying was that heavy load, that burden that the enemy brings on, because a lot of times you feel like there is so much that you have done or didn't do that you can't undo it, and it's not your job. It's not your job. God is forgiving. God is gracious, and he will remove that stain. He will remove that guilt. He'll remove that burden if you let him. But what it takes is for you to get closer. What it takes is for you to go deeper in understanding who he is, so that way you can know who you are. Because we can't know who we are until we understand who he is. Hallelujah. His character, as we were talking about earlier, those words, integrity, goodness, kindness, honorable, just, righteous, virtue, all of those things he put on the inside of us because he made us in his image. He reveals more to you when he can trust you more. Pastor always says, you know, God must really trust him. And then God did speak to him and say, yeah, you're getting what you're getting because I can trust you. But it's not just things that's tangible that you can see. The best gifts are those things that you can't hold. It's that peace that you have when you wake up, not carrying the burden that you held on to for 10 and 15 years. It's that joy that you can't understand why you have it as much chaos is going on. But he gives that to you because you've been connected. And he's like, I'm going to continue to pour out to you as long as you stay connected. As long as you stay in tune, as long as you stay locked in, I'm going to continue to pour out. I'm going to continue to give you what you need. But when you start going astray and thinking, I got it now, I'm cool, I figured it out, you never figure it out. There's always room to grow. God is always calling us to higher heights and deeper depths. God is always calling. Why do you think he said we go from glory to glory? There's levels and there's levels and there's levels, and there's so much more that he wants to do through you, but he has to have access in order for it to get done. So you fathers, we have to allow ourselves — I'm not a father, but I'm included in the body of Christ — we have to allow ourselves to be open to what God wants to do through us. Amen. Whatever hasn't been done the right way, we have a forgiving Father. He will give us grace, and I believe with all my heart that he will give grace to those who you are connected to. If it is for the good, catch that, because some relationships may have fizzled, and that's okay too, because just as Pastor said, there are still people who are in need. There are still tons of people who are looking for someone to guide them, someone to push them in the right direction. All they need is a nudge. All they need is an encouraging word to say, you got this. All they need, and that's what a dad does, a good father. A good father is that one that can whisper in your ear, you're on the right track. Keep going. I'm covering you. You're not by yourself. Isn't that what God does? He's always in our ear reminding us, hallelujah, he's a good father. And the goodness of God that is on the inside of him is flowing through you. Hallelujah. I'll end with this. In Romans 2:4, you don't have to turn, but if you want to, I'm going to read from a different translation. In Romans 2:4, in the King James, it says, "Or despisest thou the riches of goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" I want to read that in the Passion Translation. It says, "Do the riches of his extraordinary kindness make you take him for granted and despise him? Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he has been toward you? Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart and lead you into repentance?" Part of that character and that goodness of God is understanding that you're not always going to get it right. You're not always going to be able to hit the mark. You're going to miss the mark. He already knows that. That's why he sent his son Jesus, and that's why Jesus left us the Comforter. It's our job to not let those things that have hindered us in the past cripple us from moving forward. It's the goodness of God, the kindness, the generosity, the sweet and gentleness of God that brings us to a point that we're trying this again. We're gonna dust ourselves off and we're gonna get back up and we're gonna give it a go again. Because he loves us that much. And what he wants for you to understand is that that same goodness that allows for him to have patience and allows for him to have that long suffering, meaning he's watching you fall. He's watching you bruise yourself time after time again. I'm sure as a parent, you have wanted to intervene and step in for your child, especially when they're a grown child. But even as they're bruising themselves and they keep hurting themselves, they keep falling over, and then they keep telling you, they got it. Don't allow for their inability to receive what you have cause you to be hardened. But allow for the goodness that flows through God, through you, to cause them to turn around and say, "You know what? You were right. I'm sorry. You know what? I should have listened. Will you forgive me?" Just like the prodigal son, when he was able to run into his father's arms, God wants you to be able to have those open arms. Whether it's your son, whether it's your daughter, whether it's your mentee, your nephew, your grandchildren, he wants you to be able to have those loving arms. That whatever mistakes they have made, whatever mistakes you have made, it's all right. Because love is abound. Amen? God's goodness leads men to repentance. And as long as we continue to let his goodness flow through you, there's no telling how many lives will be touched for the better. There's no telling how many hearts will be transformed because you allow for his goodness to shine through you, because you allow for his goodness to take precedence, so that way you're not doing all of the work. You're allowing for his Holy Spirit to move through you. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have the right words all the time, but let God be God and let him be God for you. And watch what he'll do. Amen. Amen.
I guess I'm up. Man, I thought Father's Day I was going to be off, man. I thought somebody else was going to grab the mic. Lord have mercy. What I do want to say to all of the fathers, it's not over. There's a lot more work to be done. Repeat after me, fathers, it's not over.
It's not over.
That wasn't loud enough.
It's not over.
I don't say it like you're so tired either. So can you say it again?
It's not over.
That was, man, I got so much work to do with you guys. That was a tired it's not over. That was sad. That was sad. I need a little it's not over with a little enthusiasm.
It's not over.
Can you put some bass in your voice with that, please?
It's not over.
Jesus, you know, just stop. And I'm not going to ask the ladies to do it because too many times women are doing our work. They were ready to say it and show us how loud to be. I know, I could feel the ladies pushing like, oh, it's not my day. But I felt you, ladies, because ladies are so used to doing what we're supposed to do. They're so used to putting their voice where our voice should be. There should never be a time that they feel like they have to step in. When they feel like they have to step in, that means we haven't done our job. We need to be the voice. We need to, our voice should give an assurance to all that they don't have to bring their voice in because the voice is set. It's important. If we're doing our jobs, we'll know because the women aren't trying to speak up for us. Amen. I encourage the men that with that excellent word that was given by our minister today, I encourage the men to understand if you've had an example of what fatherhood looks like and you're still not doing it, shame on you. If you've seen an example of a father and you're not patterning yourself after that, shame on you. But let's put the shame down and let's do better. I told my wife before, I will be getting my t-shirts and my hoodies. And I will sue somebody. Tiff, help me patent it. I'll sue somebody because I got to get my t-shirts and hoodies to say, do better. Okay, that's my model for the rest of the year. Everything, do better. My wife laughs at me when we're somewhere and I see somebody doing something. I'm like, just do better. We have to do better. We're called, not just believers. Forget that. Anybody can believe. But anybody can't be a disciple. Because a disciple, you're working that belief. A disciple, you're always on. Amen. As the Bible says, you're in season. You're ready in season and out. We're always on. We don't get the off days when we're a disciple. Even when we're tired, we're on. We're on but tired. Are you getting what I'm saying? As fathers, we need to always be on. Even if you're tired and weary or confused. Good thing is when we're confused, we know where to go because God is not the author of it. So we can go to God even with our confusion and say, Lord, I don't understand. But we don't get an out because we don't understand. We don't get an out because we don't know what to do. The Bible says, seek and we shall find. So there's ways for us to seek. Where is the example? Okay, if we had a bad example, well, where is the good example? Amen. There's no more pity parties for us, man. We have to do better. We got to hold each other accountable and responsible to do our part, to do better in that. This Father's Day, I want to challenge the men. I want to challenge you fathers to do better, to do more. Amen? To do more. You guys heard my story when I was right before I was about to become ordained as a pastor my last season. That pastor told me who was leading me. He told me I wasn't doing enough. You guys know the story I told. I was upset. What do you mean I'm not doing it? I'm coming to church seven days a week. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's not another day to come to church. I'm coming 7 days a week. What else do you want me to do? I was mad at everybody. And I went to God and said, what is this? How are you going to let him tell me to do more? And God said, because it's more for you to do. And I said, what? He says, yeah, now you can start doing stuff without being angry about it. Now you can start doing stuff without complaining about the stuff you're doing. Now you can actually do it in love instead of doing it in anger. And he says, there's more. And then as he humbled me and corrected me as he's good at doing. And I realized, oh, I can do more. I could do it better. And I could do it more like the way you want me to do it. instead of me just checking it off a box that I did it. We can do more, man. There's more people to father. But I'm going to say this. Stop poaching or I'll say a better word. Stop leeching fathers off of other fathers. Let them be a father. Stop letting fathers father you when it's your turn to father others. Stop exhausting other fathers, pulling on them. Do your part. Do better. Amen. The men know I hold the men accountable here. To do your part. Be the man of God God called you with your personality, with your skills, with your skill set, with the anointing God has put on you. But do it. So this Father's Day, come on, guys. I want to see us help change lives from people of all age groups. Amen. There are people here well past 30 still needing a father. There are people here that with all of the things going on, they need a father. Come on, show up, guys. Breakthrough. We're breakthrough for a reason. Amen. Amen. Doesn't matter if we know their mother. Most of us, we never touch their mom. That don't mean you can't be the father to that child. You know what I'm saying. And not everybody, and I'm done with this, not everybody raises up their hand and say, hey, I need a father. We don't walk with signs saying, I need a father, but we still need one. And some of us don't walk around with signs saying, I need a healthy one. Said, I have one, but it's been dysfunctional. I need to know what health looks like. I need to know what stability looks like. I need to know what love looks like because I have a father, but he's been angry all my life. Amen. We don't walk with those signs. So we need to be able to go to God and say, why did you bring them to me? What is it that you want me to do for them? Amen. You know, that was some beautiful stuff that you said, and I have a whole page full of notes. But we need to be able to say, Lord, what do you want me to do with what you brought me? Amen. Amen. She said that, and it was true. I heard him tell me. He told me to cover her and be her covering. But he told me to be her covering for 21 years. And after she was 21, she did some things. I said, Lord, she is all yours. I said, I have done my part. And listen, Lord, that is on you. I have been the example, done it. That's yours now. That was one of the biggest, greatest moments of my life to be able to say, Lord, I've done it. Here it is. Still love her, but no longer responsible because train up a child in the way she should go. I did my part. I trained her up. Now she's preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Singing for the Lord. I've done my part. Where are the rest of them that God's dropping off somebody at our lap? And we're like, okay, it's my turn. Amen. I want you to know with your personality, do it. Do it. Do it your way. Let God talk to you. Let him show you how to do it. Amen. And that's fathers naturally and spiritually. Because if you're not raising anybody up, you're not changing a life. And if you're not changing a life, what are you doing? Because God helped us, created in us for us to create life. Did you miss that? He, as men, we're life creators too. We help create life. If you're not changing a life for the better, help growing a life, how are you creating a life or a better life? Amen. I want the testimonies of people saying, oh my God, thank God for that man. He didn't have to be there for me. He didn't have to put up with me. He didn't have to put up with my nonsense, but he chose to do it. He didn't have to, but he did it. That's what we want. There was no reason that he decided to be in my life, but he did it. He gave me time to get over my anger. He gave me time to get over my judgment or whatever. Come on, man. That's this day. This is the day for us to decide. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll be that man. I'll be the one that I didn't have. I'll be the one I never saw. She was hitting in all of the scriptures. He'll do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. He'll do with us things that we didn't even know we could ask or think. Amen. Come on. If there's breath in your body, there's still time. And I say this, and for those that don't want you to be their father, keep it moving, fellas. Even your natural ones. If they don't accept you for who you are, God has others that will accept you. Don't think it's over because they won't. Keep going. Keep fathering. Amen. Create a whole new tribe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't stop. Don't stop creating life. Don't stop creating life. Don't stop creating life. Fathers, repeat after me. I won't stop creating life. I'm just getting started. From this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. That means, as the shepherd of this house, I'm going to be looking at you in your eyes, depending on what color you are, and looking to see what's changing. Who are you changing? Are you keep coming to church by yourself, or are you coming with some other people that I know you're changing their lives? Are you bringing somebody who don't even want to be here, but you've gotten on their nerves so much they're doing it to shut you up, and then when you get here, Jesus will talk to them? Or even if they never come back, at least you've planted the seed. You've done your part. Even if they reject Jesus, at least you brought them to Jesus for them to reject them. Then you can wipe your hands and say you've done all that you can do. Amen. We have to do our part to bring them to Jesus, to show them Jesus. Amen. I did my part with that one. After she was 21, I couldn't make her go to church no more or love Jesus. But I poured all I could into her while she was young. Are you understand what I'm saying? That's what we need to do. If yours won't talk to you, find somebody who will. Yours won't love on you. There's plenty who will. They want somebody to love on them too. But they won't have a sign. So you got to pray. Lord, who do you want me to love? Who do you want me to father? Amen. If they won't listen to you, stop talking to them. Talk to other people. They'll listen to you. But find them. Seek and ye shall find. Are we getting that? Are we understanding? Are we understanding? Are you understanding? Some of the best relationships I've had is in natural relationships. Some of the best ones that's changed my life, they're not natural. If we get stuck on what's natural, we'll miss out what God has for us. We'll miss out on so many opportunities to love and be loved if we're stuck in the natural. And she said something today that blew my mind. I didn't even know. God was preparing me to shepherd people who weren't naturally my children at 15. I never even thought of that. That blew my mind. I'll deal with God later on that one because I got emotional, but I had to stay strong. That messed me up. And I didn't realize I was accepting the call in my life at 15. I didn't know. But man, I'll deal with that later. Leave me alone. But yours too, unconventional. How God getting you to do what he called you. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. All I wanted to do was to be 15 and to be able to keep sinning. What I want to do, raise somebody else's kid. At 15, I was like, wait a minute, I ain't sleep with my mom. Why am I dealing with this child? But that was accepting the call. And that's where we need to be. Accept it. And it doesn't have to make sense. Amen. Are you getting this? Be you. Be you. And do better. Can you do that, man? Can you do that, fathers? This is our day. Come on, let's show the world this is our day by how we hold our head up. I've seen some men, you know, I've seen EP and CT. We have so many initials in this church, I can't keep up. I've seen them when their children come here, they sit differently. Their neck is all perfectly straight. They sit with this pride that my child is here. Yeah, it's both of them. And they don't even know I recognize it. They walk with a strut. Like my child. And some of their children are grown and they're still strutting. That's mine. Can't wait to introduce their children to me and all of this stuff. That's awesome. That's awesome. but let's do more. Let's do more. Amen. The older we get, the better we should be. Amen. And it's okay to do it slower, because now we know how to do it. Amen. Amen. Ryan, you're about to get ready for a 2-week tailspin coming up. We're praying for you. But what I'm praying is that more people, more children come out wanting the God that you and your wife served than ever before. I'm praying that they're saying, I want to be where you guys are because, wow, you guys were amazing before, but there's something different about you now. What is it? Amen. Yes, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I want you to know this is your day. Make it count till midnight. Amen. 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 Last but not least, men, accept nothing but excellence. Accept nothing but excellence. Do it in excellence and accept nothing from excellence. I have one of my children right now who texts me, Happy Father's Day. I'm not even acknowledging that text. I'm not even acknowledging it. I deserve better than a text. I deserve 5 minutes of a human conversation. I won't even respond to that text. They could be watching me live on stream, but they're probably not. The point is, if I'm gonna do better, I should expect better. Men, are you hearing what I'm saying? Fathers, amen? Because God has brought people in my life that wants to verbally say Happy Father's Day, just not text it to me. And that's not making me sad that one of my natural ones gave me a text, because God has given me so much abundance of those that spiritual, that has already shown the love of God. That's why I said, come on, man, we have this. Don't you be sad or mad on this day. Drop who won't treat you like the man of God you are today and run with it. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Man, y'all need to wake up. This is the most sad, broke down, tired men's group I've ever seen in my life. What in the world? Is this an old folks home or Father's Day breakthrough? Jesus the Christ, where's the energy? Where is the passion? Why is it just me? I cut my grass yesterday. What in the world? Praise team, rehearsal, cut the grass, all this stuff. Kicked it all day long. Woke up with a migraine. My head still hurts, and yet I got more energy than all y'all combined. Took 4 pills and tea, and yet I have more energy than all of y'all combined. What's wrong with breakthrough? I'm not leaving him alone on Father's Day. I will not ever. I got to hold him accountable. If this is going to change lives, woo, y'all not going to stress me out because I'm enjoying my day. I want to close with this. Father, if you want more, give more. Do when the pastor that ordained me challenged me. And then God had to say, yep, you don't have to like the way you're being told it, but you do have to receive what you've been told when it comes from God. Man, stop pumping up your chest saying, I'm a man. Put your chest back in and say, I'm a man of God. Because if you're a man of God, you're a man of obedience. You want somebody else to obey? You better learn how to do it yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, stand up, please. It's okay. It runs in the family. Because of Mother's Day, I said, Mother, stand up. And he stood up the same time. Therefore, we keep you guys in prayer. I think. Now I know where you get it from, Lou. Father, put your hands up. Put them up. Repeat after me. I receive everything that you have for me, Lord God. I will do better. I will give more. I will walk in love. I will have the peace of God in me. I will show the world who you are, Lord God, through me. I will represent you and represent you well. And as a father, I will not be ashamed of the anointing that is on my life. I will not lower my standards. I will not walk in guilt, walk in shame. From this moment, I am forgiven. I am set free. I am a child of the Most High God. And I will be the godly example from this moment on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that on this day, you raise us up. You raise up our platform. And you allow us to see others that was not previously seen. Allow us to see those that need us. Give us the desire and the intel for those people. Let us be all that you called us and created us to be from this moment on. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I felt that thing. Fathers, I'm excited. I'm excited because next Father's Day will be a different Father's Day. That gives a whole year of watching the change that's going to happen. Ooh-wee. Get your popcorn ready.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.